Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
'Twas the night before Christmas and all through the house, not a show was worth streaming except for Full House. My earbuds were stuffed in my earholes with care, while Jesse Katsopoulos fixed up his hair. The parents were snoozing to NCIS while I crash on the couch because I am a guest. When what to my wandering ears should appear but must have seen TV a pod about yesteryear. With a little gay host so lively and bright, I knew in a moment his name was Brett White. More rapid than Sonic his hot takes they came, those old sitcoms he praised and lauded by name. Now Frasier, now Seinfeld, now Roseanne and Taxi, on Rhoda, on Monsters, on Night Court and Lucy. But I heard Brett exclaim as I turned in for the night. Happy Christmas to all. Here's my guest, Lizzie Bryce. And thank you so much for coming by, Lizzie.
Thank you for having me, Brett.
Yes, for the part four, final installment of the Holiday Gauntlet.
Yes.
3-month-long odyssey that I have put everyone through. But yeah, this is our fourth Christmas episode.
Oh my gosh. And I just want to say again how thrilled I am to be doing a Christmas episode specifically, so thank you for that.
Yeah, what is your history with Christmas?
Oh, I'm a pro? I'm a real, yeah, I'm a pro Christmaser. I'm on the team at least.
Nice.
Like, no, I get really into holidays, and I also, with Christmas, because I love it so much, I actually do, like, a year on, a year off, where 1 year I'll be, like, 1,000% in, and 1 year I'll do it lightly, so that, like, it's always fresh.
Like, what is this year, then?
This year is actually a light year, but I feel good about it, because last year I watched every movie, I made every, cookies, yes. And now I feel ready for, like, an off year before a serious year.
I dole it out, or, like, I only celebrate it from Black Friday to Christmas Day.
Only, yeah.
But, like, because, like, there are people that, as soon as, like, yeah. November 1st hits, they'll start tweeting, like, November 1st, Christmas music time, and I'm like, I can't, because I do need, I think you do need, like, what you were saying, you need some parameters for it to still remain special.
Yeah.
So I think if you just dive into Christmas on, like, October 1st or something crazy, it's then it isn't special.
So it's, like, a sixth of your year, so I feel like in order for me to be, like, wow, this is, like, really special, I have to space it out for myself. Yeah.
So for me, that's, like, I need, like, I guess I get, like, almost 4 weeks. I get almost a month of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we get our decorations up Saturday after.
By the way, like, we're sitting in a gingerbread house right now. It is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, I should probably post it on social. Yeah, my office has lights up. I got action figures having a Christmas party up on my shelf.
Christmas goals for me.
So this week on the show, we will be traveling to December 16th, 1988. Twins ruled the box office. Look Away by Chicago topped the charts. And ABC aired the Full House episode, our very first Christmas show. Lizzie, you must have seen our very first Christmas show before.
No, I haven't actually.
Whoa. Wait, what?
What?
But you're a Full House person.
I am.
Yeah.
I am. Yes. It's really funny. I love Full House. And I was telling you earlier that I watched so many of them as a child that getting into this has really been like, oh yeah, like when I was 8 years old, this meant a lot to me. Yeah. Like this was really important to me.
Were you a TGIF like weekly viewer?
I wasn't a weekly viewer. I think I came into it like a little late. So yeah, syndication. I was watching them a lot. I was watching a lot of Nick at Night.
Yeah.
And what's actually very insane that I, like, actually remembered on the way here was that at one point Full House was banned from my household because my dad decided that it was, like, too insipid for the household. And he
Not
was
wrong.
Like,
well,
yeah. he was like, we're not watching this anymore. And I was like, I dare you to stop me. Because I liked it so much. And it was so bad that, like, if we played the theme song, he would, like, leave the room.
That, I mean, like, but I see all of his points, to be honest. going back and looking at it and be like, oh, yeah, my parents sat down every Friday and watched TGIF with me.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that wasn't even when, like, they would sit down on Tuesday to watch Full House with me, because by that point, when I started watching it, it had already moved to Tuesday.
Okay.
I think it was on Tuesday for, like, the last 4 or 5 years of its run.
Mm-hmm.
But we would do that on Tuesday, and then on Friday we would do TGIF. So they would do two nights of ABC, because Tuesday was Full House at, I think, 7 Central, and then Home Improvement at 8 Central.
Like,
so they would do this. That was some dedication.
TV really ran our schedules and lives.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I used to know, like, every night when things would come on, I had my own schedules made up. I would write it down on, like, notebook paper.
Yeah.
I talked about Full House with Matt Little, oh gosh, back a couple months ago. So maybe that was,
yeah,
that was, like, September, so we're back to school.
So and we're doing, like, a refresh.
Yeah, so, like, this is my second time getting in. And as I said before we taped, I could probably do an entire podcast about Full House because I find this show fascinating.
Yeah. And also, I should stress the thing with my dad. I think it was, like, as a child, you don't watch an episode of Full House because they're, like, 20 minutes. You watch 70 episodes in a row.
Especially if you're going in syndication when they were, like, they would run things in, like, hour chunks, usually. And so that's a lot of Full House.
Yeah. No, it was definitely, like, a weekend day where I was like, I could spend 6 hours. What am I doing?
God. It is one of the most... It holds up so much better because Hulu has gotten all the TJF shows. So I'm now rewatched Home Improvement, Step by Step, Hanging with Mr. Cooper, Family Matters. And I honestly do think that, like, Full House and Home Improvement stand up way better. They're way better. They're way more easily rewatchable than like a Step by Step or a Family Matters. Like, Family Matters has Urkel, and Urkel is great.
Yeah.
But when Urkel isn't around, the rest of that show is kind of like, what is this show?
I genuinely think the kids on Full House, I thought they were my friends.
Yeah.
And also, like, they acted and spoke like actual kids versus, like, adults writing for kids. And I think that, like,
and they weren't doing, they also, because we also watched What's Happening on the podcast, which is written in the 70s. It's a show starring, like, a black family, but it was written by, like, 50-year-old Jewish men.
Of course.
So you had, like, D, who's, like, 8, is just doing all these, like, cat skills one-liner jokes. And it's like, well, it's great. She's killing them. But it's like, these are jokes that a 50-something-year-old Jewish man would tell in the 50s.
Yeah, no, DJ and I were, like, friends. I was like, no, that's my friend.
Well, and the show that I find so fascinating is that Full House, because they give you so many of these kids' firsts, like, you go through Michelle, Stephanie, and DJ all, like, through the 7-year run of the show, you watch all three of them grow up and hit all these different milestones. You actually see, like, I think all of them go to school for a first day at some point.
Yeah.
Like, you really get all these interesting milestones with these characters that make you actually do feel like, I grew up with them.
And I think a lot of what I thought my first blank should be came from that. Like, my first kiss should be this because this was DJ's first kiss. Or, like,
it's also because I, like, rewatching Home Improvement. Home Improvement is, the balance on Home Improvement is a lot more towards Tim and Jill and Al. And the kids are there and the kids are important, but they aren't as essential. Whereas I feel like Full House is a solid 50-50 or maybe 60-40.
Yeah, 65.
Yeah.
35.
So as a kid, you really do, like, latch onto this.
Mm-hmm.
And oh boy, this episode.
I can't even begin. I also, like, remembered a third of, like, after the first act, what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And like, then, oh my goodness.
Boy, what does
as
happen?
An adult thinking about it versus as a kid.
Oh, so yeah. This week on Must Have CTV, we're going to be talking about the Full House episode, our very first Christmas show. It is the 9th episode of season 2 and was written by Kim Weisskopf and directed by John Boab. Here's how Hulu describes the episode. The Tanners are dreaming of a white Christmas in Colorado, but their mood turns sad when they are snowed in at an airport en route. Lizzie, how accurate is that?
I guess pretty accurate, and it doesn't give away the whole plot in a way that's a nightmare.
This is a nice, like, sentence, succinct
tidbit.
Yeah, you don't get the big reveal of this episode, which is that the Tanner family lives in a universe where Santa Claus is a real being.
So I have a lot of beef with this because I think it is so scandalous when shows either do or almost expose Santa Claus, because I was for sure watching Full House as a kid who believed in Santa Claus.
That is a thing.
I think I knew that, like, mall Santas weren't real, and so the Joey thing, I guess, it feels real on the edge, and I know in the end it's like, ha ha ha, he's real,
yeah.
But, like, does this ruin Christmas for kids?
Like, that's the thing that I wonder about, like, because I, for every holiday, every Christmas season, I watch hundreds, like 100 different sitcom Christmas episodes and track them all.
You were still Brett White then.
Yeah, oh boy, it's a lot. So doing this and watching this, you're wondering, what line do you walk? Like, how aware do you have to be of your show's audience? Because there are a lot of shows where there's a kid that believes in Santa and the joke of the episode is, well, he's crazy.
Yeah.
And then they don't ever undercut that. Like, the thing is like, Santa isn't real, but we're just going to pretend for this kid. And then there are other shows where the adults are like, Santa isn't real, but then, like, wink, wink, Santa actually is real.
Yeah.
Which
was this show.
Yeah. This episode is interesting because it establishes that, like, DJ knows Santa is not real.
Mm-hmm.
Because DJ found the present. So she, like, confides in Michelle.
Yeah. She tells Michelle, basically.
Yeah. I love that she, like, corners, she, like, is, I don't know, playing with Michelle in her room. She's like, can I tell you a secret? And she says, like,
guess what? I'm getting my new CD player. Stephanie's getting her roller skates. And you are going to be rolling in new toys. Too late.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, DJ.
Don't ruin Christmas for a two-year-old.
Also, like, name a specific.
Yeah.
It's like, obviously Michelle's getting toys. Like, you're getting CD player. Mm-hmm. Stephanie's getting roller skates. Michelle, you're getting toys.
Yeah.
It's like, Michelle knew she was getting toys.
Right.
Also, Michelle is, like, two, so she doesn't actually comprehend anything that's happening.
No, I do think this episode also showed that, like, Michelle is kind of, like, the Yoda of this world.
Yeah.
Where, like, she knows all and sees all and is very calm about it, and every so often just says something crazy.
When Joey comes out at the airport, when they get stranded, and he's dressed as Santa, and Stephanie's, like, buying it, and then Michelle's,
Stephanie,
like,
an eight-year-old who lives with this man, this weird man who lives in her basement, is like, oh, I don't recognize you from nose to forehead.
Yeah, and also that he's like,
I also know that you ate that last slice of cold pizza that Joey was saving for breakfast.
You do know everything.
That doesn't clue her off either.
No.
So, like, the episode starts, this is, again, Full House humor. I think this is the same thing with the other episode we did. The cold open of a Full House episode.
Yeah.
Joke-free. They are always joke-free.
Christmas cheese.
Full House
that
is
the
show.
Joke of the cold open.
Full House is a show that goes for a cute, like, an appreciative nod more than a laugh.
Yeah.
Which, as my husband pointed out after we finished, he was like, you guys did not laugh once.
I was like, we laughed once in the beginning.
Yeah.
Not in the cold open.
Not an LOL show.
But you know
show.
What? I liked it. It was very weird. I'm used to, like, a cold open being, like, such a, like, set up, hit it out of the park.
Yeah.
Like,
the
joke,
cold open
joke,
is
joke.
They're all trying to take their Christmas photo, and then they're lined up. Danny sets the timer. They get in the pose, and the phone rings, right? And then they all, like, move to get it. And then the picture is taken.
Well,
with
that also, before that, when he's setting up the picture with, let me tell you, the first DSLR, maybe ever, with an external flash, I was like, wow, Danny's got money.
Yeah, this is 1988. Well, like, that's the thing, is this is 1988, right? And he is the host of a local morning show.
Yeah. Which
I guess
we can get into later, but they're very interested in his, like, home life, which is odd.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's basically the exact next thing. Actually,
but I have to mention the Christmas cheese, because this is driving me crazy. So he
right.
sets up the DSLR, and then he says,
everyone say Christmas cheese.
Christmas cheese.
And then the phone rings, and you move on, but it's just like, wait, what?
Is that a joke?
Like, was that a joke? Was that, like, a reference that I didn't understand to, like, something very specific?
There's a lot of that in Full House. That's also similar to Joey and Jesse's version of Sleigh Ride.
Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling Yoo-hoo.
Yoo-hoo?
Yoo-hoo.
Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
And you.
And you. Thank you.
I have this, like, weird call and response version of Sleigh Ride that I've never heard before.
Yeah.
I feel like they cooked it up. They're also too, like, Joey and Jesse.
Well, they were friends, so I feel like there's a chance this happened. I, like, oh no, you guys, I looked up some Full House facts. I'm going to pepper throughout this, so I look like an informed person. You're like, oh wow, like, I listened to her speak for a reason. But, so, yeah, so Dave Coulier, like, lived on, like, Bob Saget's couch for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, before Full House ever happened, he, like, slept on his couch in L.A. when Dave Coulier was like, hey, like, I don't have a house. I'm trying to be a stand-up. So they're friends. So, like, I feel like maybe these things, they just had a familiarity with each other.
That does, I mean, like, that also explains why the Full House cast is still, except for the Olsen twins, are still super close. Close enough that fucking
wait, is there a moment for us to discuss the best moment in any Full House franchise ever in Fuller House? Where they're like, and where's Michelle? And the whole cast, like, turns
and looks
to the camera.
In that first episode.
That hasn't gotten enough cultural recognition.
No.
It's such a good moment.
The rest of season 3 is coming out on the 22nd. And can I spoil things? When is this episode?
Oh, no. Don't spoil.
This episode goes up on the 20th. So the embargo has lifted. So I can say I've seen the season 3 premiere.
Whoa.
And or the next episode back. And it is 40 minutes all set in Japan. And it is insane. I highly recommend everyone watch it.
I'm going to share another weird fact. And I promise I won't introduce each of them. So, like, before Fuller House was a thing, Stamos was like, I want to make a movie in 2009.
What?
But he wanted a Full House movie, but he did not want them to play the characters. It was to feature as Danny. It was going to be James Franco as, Joey. It was going to be Tracy Morgan and... Who, oh gosh, it's so
and John Stamos is Uncle Jesse because he's ageless.
Yeah, it's like, it's actually insane. I just like the idea of like James Franco being in a Full House movie.
Oh, God, he would do it.
He would do it. Would do oh, anything, Steve yeah. Carell, it was, no, Steve Carell is Danny.
Okay,
James Franco as Jesse. Yes.
This makes all that makes a lot more sense.
Yes. I can't reiterate information clearly. But wouldn't that be amazing? And I'm kind of sad we didn't get that.
It could still happen, to be honest. Yeah. Set up a parallel. Yeah. So this episode has the opening credits that are the extended opening credits.
Yes.
That I guess were regular until like it went to syndication. We're like, when you're expecting to go everywhere, he keeps singing the verse.
Yeah.
And they run through the entire cast and all their like title cards before he even gets to the part of the theme song that we know as the theme song.
It's long.
And it weirds me out every time. And then you see them like fishing at the wharf and like shopping for... Also, they're fishing at the wharf, and then the camera pans out to where you can see Alcatraz.
Yes! Like, you can see clearly that they're next to Alcatraz.
There's Alcatraz. There's a prison.
There's also... Okay, so, like, they're walking through a park, and Jesse's wearing this hat that would be very cool in 2017.
Yeah, Jesse's a...
It's, like, it's such a... Plate. Yeah, it's such a, like, Beyonce would wear this hat that Jesse's wearing.
That Jesse is adopting early.
Yeah.
So then... The episode starts, and Danny's whole plot, which I feel like they did just so he could do exposition.
Yes.
Is he is doing, basically, selfie with a massive VHS camcorder that is obviously hollow because he is just whipping it around.
It should be so heavy.
Yeah, I had, like, that exact camera.
Yeah.
When I started making movies with my parents' like VHS camcorder in eighth grade, that's what I would use. And that thing was heavy.
Yeah.
And he's just like, here's the tree. And then everyone's like saying little stinker things to the camera, like, you're only doing this for a tax write off. And like, Stephanie's like,
just
I don't want
to. Good joke.
Yeah. Stephanie's like, I don't want to go to.
Daddy, I don't want to go on this dumb trip.
Steph, the camera's running. Try to be a little bit cuter.
I don't want to go on this dumb trip.
And let's talk about that. Like, they're all going on a vacation for Christmas,
mm-hmm.
which every time this would happen. Because, like, that's the plot of Home Alone as well.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't understand that. Because my parents would never dream.
Oh, really?
Of taking a vacation on Christmas.
It's
and not
Disney's
being at home.
Busiest time.
Yeah, that's the thing that, like,
people have time off, and so they're like, oh, we can go to the place.
Oh.
So Disney's, like, most expensive on Christmas Day.
So, like, family, for Full House is really tapping into the fear that children who believe in Santa feel when they're like, we're going to a place that Santa might not know.
Yeah.
Where we are, and Stephanie is like freaking out. She's like, I've drawn a map.
Made maps. Oh man, the art department must have had a good time making that map.
I do. Okay, I think one of the funniest joke in the episode is when she's like, here's the North Pole, here's San Francisco.
San Francisco, Stephanie was here. In Colorado, Stephanie will be here this morning. And this is a bird named Tony.
Like, that's funny. That's a non sequitur that I appreciate.
Yeah, is that Toby from Paranormal Activity? Like, whoa. That would be super crazy.
They also, like, they set up so much stuff in the beginning. Like, here's the suitcase with all the presents. Joey, do you have your Santa suit? Jingle, jingle, jingle. Yeah. Like, they're really
I appreciate that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, like, they're not leaving any questions.
No, they're, like, setting
we
up.
We know it's gonna happen.
And also, like, Full House, it's like, if they set something up in the first act, no, like, just wait, it's gonna happen. There's nothing subtle about Full House. They're gonna, like, set it up in big neon lights.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah.
Like, it's very, like, structure-driven. I also, like, one of my old professors told me that he worked on the SpongeBob staff, and that SpongeBob is, like, religious about their act structure. Like, every episode of SpongeBob might as well be Hamlet.
Oh, wow.
To them, yeah, if there's, like, an extra line with a joke that doesn't fit, they cut it because it's, like, their structure. So I feel like Full House is similar, and I can respect the...
Well, also, like, you are making a show for, you know, for families, with mm-hmm. which have children watching, so you do want to make sure the story is, like, very, like... Here's the thing with presents, and you're, like, holding up the big red suitcase, and it's like, this is where the presents are.
If you see this again,
yeah,
what does it mean?
That it means something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This episode actually does have a three-act structure, because act one is all of them in the house, like, mm-hmm. getting ready to go, and Stephanie's, like, complaining. Then act two is one of the most unrealistic depictions
airplanes.
Of airplane travel.
Oh my god, and an old airplane! Like,
seen?
Somehow the airplane on Friends seemed like a more current day airplane,
oh, yeah.
but this airplane has, like, pink seats
yeah.
and, like, a sticky carpet, and you're just like, oh wow.
And they, like, walk on, the way that all the passengers on a plane treat flying with a baby.
Yeah.
Just blows my mind.
Michelle's also not a baby flying. Like, I know people who take infants on planes.
Yeah. Like, well, they walk in and Michelle, like, says hi, and then all the other the passengers, like, wave back at her and say hi. I'm like, that would never happen.
Yeah, they
nowadays.
All sang a song.
Yeah.
I have a lot of thoughts in Act 3 about, like, the insane. I would hate this family so much.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, that
the idea
guy,
that this family's like, we have kids, so, like,
we're
can
special.
Do this.
Well, and you get, like, the privileged Tanner action when you find out that they sold C-1B to, like, three different people.
Yeah.
Weird, though.
Doesn't happen.
It is, the three people that own, that have those tickets are, the grumpy stranger,
uh-huh.
like, Stephanie, and Danny, which, Mr. Meticulous Danny, should not he have noticed?
He didn't notice that his daughter was sitting in his seat,
yeah. That, oh, we both have 1B? Mm-hmm. Nope, he didn't notice.
No.
But you know what? Don't think too much
he's
about
too
it.
He's too busy with his cardboard box that's supposed to look like a yeah. camera.
He's videotaping everything. Also, in like the land of coincidences. Like,
oh yeah.
Of Becky, Danny's coast
on the flight
on the
to
flight,
make a connection in Colorado to Nebraska.
To Nebraska.
Is that a common?
I don't know. I'm also like, how long is the flight from San Francisco to Colorado?
Also, I'm like, did first class have hair and makeup because she looks. Banging for
yeah.
a flight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, why is she so put together?
I mean, we can just take a moment to talk about the wonder and brilliance of Lori Loughlin.
She was only supposed to be on the show for 6 episodes.
Ugh.
And everyone was like, no, Becky's our favorite. Also, the only, like, adult female character.
Yeah.
So
and, like,
capture.
Especially, you have a show that is essentially Three Men and a Baby.
Yeah.
Which debuted before Three Men and the, like, the same year that Three Men and a Baby came out. Like, there was something about... Three men raising daughters.
Whoa.
That
what do we do?
Made people, like, in 1987, people were just going crazy for that premise. But, like, you see Becky, and you're like, yeah, she's great. She is so effortless. She commands, like...
Yeah.
She commands the screen in a way that is, like, she's not commanding it, but she's commanding it.
Yeah.
She has such a graceful, gentle presence, but is also just so watchable mm-hmm. and, like, plays to the camera so well. I love Becky.
I think she's great. I think what's cool about her is she's never trying.
No,
and
yeah.
All the boys are trying so
oh my
hard.
God. This is the show. I mean, like, the kids are... Everyone in this cast. Kimmy Gibbler,
trying.
Steve.
Kimmy, not on this episode. Why isn't she miraculously on this plane?
That'd be too much.
Flight attendant looked a lot like her if you're watching this episode. I wonder if that was her cousin or something.
Yeah,
she got a
she was
job.
Also, she was also doing some of the Gibbler. She had some stupid... She had some, like, silly lines.
I liked
that.
Her.
Yeah.
I thought she didn't put up with it.
I like that when she got to the baggage claim area, she immediately, like, picked up a phone and just started, like, doing the exact same. Like, I'm making announcements again, like, over this phone.
And she's gone. I miss her.
Yeah. So, like, Becky's on the flight. Jesse, I don't know what their story is before this, but this is their
Jesse
first kiss.
Jesse is dealing with his parents who are like, when are
you know, there are going to be a lot of grandsons at this reunion. None of them mine.
Pop, you promised you weren't going to bug me about this.
Nick, the boy's right. Stop pestering him about grandsons.
Yeah.
Classic grandparent.
We get some Jesse parents in this episode.
Yeah. I thought they're great. Yeah. There's a questionable joke, but otherwise I thought they're really good.
Yeah, well, that's it. We're getting to that next. Other things in the plane. So the girls, of course, get to go to first class because, again, yeah. This is Full House and things just go right for them even when they're going wrong.
The girls, A, want to eat lobster. They're interested in it at all. And B, know how to open and eat a lobster.
They should have made that joke of like, and they also crushed the lobster in front of us. I think I did not start eating crab and lobster until I was in high school.
No, like, for sure. There's spiders. There's spiders that live underwater. Yeah.
I mean, I love it, but
that's
again,
all I want to eat.
That's a thing that you eat
from a place that's very close to Maine. So, yeah, like, so I love it, but yeah, I would not know how.
And we get the grumpy man who turns out to be Santa Claus, by the way.
Whoa, I didn't put that together.
Because he is.
I just watched this, I didn't put that together.
There's a grumpy man who is wearing like a toupee that Michelle keeps petting and calling
that's Santa
Kitty.
Claus?
And he has that laptop. He's working on that laptop.
Oh.
And so, like, he has this, like, crazy-ass brick, thick, 1988, tiny-ass, like, as big as an iPhone screen laptop.
It looks like an Excel document, his screen.
Yeah. And when he, I know he's Santa Claus, for one thing, because the message Santa leaves at the end, spoiler alert, is on that laptop that he's left behind. And also, while they're in the baggage claim area, and DJ is telling Stephanie, like, you know, they lost the presents. It's not going to be good. Everything. There's a shot of, like, they, like, cut to a wider shot with him in the foreground, like, sneakily, like, listening to them.
I missed
and, like, pretending
all of
to
this.
I did not notice that. This might be the first time I've noticed that there's a shot of him sneakily listening to them.
So this
about.
Actually works on both levels because for kids, it's like, oh, Santa's real. And for adults, like, you can be like, oh, it was that man.
Yeah. That's it.
I didn't get that.
Let's also get into this of, like, why the fuck is Santa on a flight from San
Francisco,
Colorado?
I hope Santa has a business meeting. Yeah.
Especially on Christmas Eve. Why is he messing with flights?
Yeah, my weed store in Colorado needs me Christmas Eve.
Well, he's got to go get some, like, he's got to go get his, like, refreshments for once everything's over with. Or it's like, you know, the reindeers like to get a little blitzen, obviously, right?
I don't want to live in a world where Santa doesn't get to sit in first class.
Yeah. Like, well,
that's awful.
And he's also like a jerk. It's really weird.
Yeah.
No,
it's pretty weird. I did not notice that, so that is blowing my mind currently.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it's also the same actor. So then they're like, we're going to have to make an unscheduled landing over the Rocky Mountains, which I didn't look at the flight path to see if that makes sense, but...
They're Rockies in Colorado, I buy
it. Yeah, I guess, yeah. But I'm like, how close are they? I don't know, I should have looked this
but
up.
But also, like, the fact that there's such a big snowstorm that you have to land a plane is, like, pretty unusual.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
Especially, and then go to a baggage claim that is empty. Like, it might be a small airport.
There are 10 people on this flight other than this family. enough extras.
Oh my God. Then we get to the third act, which is all in the baggage claim. And yeah, let's get into, like, just how much of a nightmare the Tanner family are.
The thing that made me the most upset where I, like, would have started screaming was Christmas morning. Like, they turn on all the lights and are like, Merry Christmas.
Yeah. So, like...
And it's like, if it were 8 a.m. and you woke me up on Christmas and I had to sleep in a baggage claim, like, we'd have some words.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, Jesse turns on the lights, and I don't think it's light outside yet, either. Like, I don't know if they just, like, forgot to turn the lights on outside the set, but, like, he's like, wake up, it's Christmas morning. It's like 4 a.m., and he's like, technically it's Christmas, everyone deserves to get up right now, like, needs to get up.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you. The grumpy old man points this out, because there's, like, this thing where he comes up and he's like,
excuse me, is your tribe sitting here?
Yeah, why?
Well, then I'm sitting way over there.
I'm with that man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
for sure.
Especially now that I know that he's Santa Claus.
Also, like, yeah. I don't know. Just if a family is doing this because they are like, we have to make Christmas good for our kids, like, sure, but do, like, a toned down version of this.
Just whisper.
Yeah.
Or just, like, be respectful. Because they assume that Jesse, like, assumes that because they lost their presence and they're missing their reunion and, you know, like, their kids are sad
that they have the worst case.
Like, everyone else is also... I mean, like, of course, like, their flight is stranded, so I'm sure everyone's, like, inconvenienced. But Jesse gives this, like, rousing speech.
I was gonna say, I was actually very impressed by this speech because the words were so corny.
Oh my god.
But I feel like John Stamos is acting.
What did he say? He said, like,
what's the matter with you people? First Christmas was in a manger. They did okay. I mean, so what if we're stuck in this crummy dump? Christmas isn't about presents or Santa Claus or cows. It's about a feeling. It's about people. It's about us forgetting about our problems and reaching out to help other people. Christmas doesn't have to happen in one certain place. It happens in our hearts. So if you think about it, we could have Christmas anywhere. I mean, even in a baggage claim.
Also, so many reminders of the fact that, like, Full House walked a really, like, thin line of, like, progressive people watch this, conservative people watch this. Yeah. And it was like, shout out to Jesus.
We know the real reason for the season.
Yeah. The first Christmas, that, like, definitely happened.
It's not about presents. Yeah. It's about the people. And then he goes...
It's about a feeling.
And I want to talk about, while Jesse is doing this, what is he wearing? He is wearing an oversized...
Jesse looks hot.
He's wearing, like, this oversized, like, beige-ish
sweater. Telling you, put Jesse... And Greenpoint right now, yeah. And four people will walk up to him being like, excuse me, can I take your picture?
Yeah, his sweater, so fashionable. His sweater is like, it has these green diamonds on the shoulders that look like Christmas trees. They're like,
yeah.
They has like, in the center, it has like this like burgundy and navy, like, diamond on it.
I have like a crush that's reawakened for Uncle Jesse. Yeah, and those slacks. Like, what business meeting are you going to at Christmas?
That's the other thing that me and Matt talked about in the other Full House episode. Is like, Uncle Jesse's character is badass rock and roll dude. And he, like, just dresses so lame. He dresses...
I don't know. I'm so into it. Or he does that girl talking on that one. Because, like, I'm like, yes.
He doesn't dress like a rock and roll dude, is what I guess what I'm saying. He dresses like a hit 1950s businessman, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, those pants are very, like, art deco.
Yeah.
Because they're very, like, wide. They're really jazzy.
They're very Don Draper pants.
Yeah.
With Jesse in them. I don't know.
That sweater is also not rock and roll.
Yeah.
It's like, as soon as they cut his hair.
But that's the thing. It's like the juxtaposition. It's like, I kind of tried. Yeah, and you're like, yeah.
I guess the fact that we don't ever actually realize that Jesse isn't dressed rock and roll speaks to how rock and roll he innately is.
His hair just puts him on a level.
Yeah. He exudes rock and roll through the wool dad sweater.
Yeah, and like, there's also, like, he doesn't even really have a full-on mullet in this episode.
No, this is his, like...
He's, like, toned down.
This is his cool, like, after... Because doesn't he, like, break his arms and get a haircut from Stephanie,
who cuts
like a chunk of his hair off,
and it's a big deal, and he's mad, and like the one of the few episodes where you're like, oh wow, Jesse's the bad
gonna
guy,
get mad and angry,
yeah.
So he says, like,
DJ, what do you see right there?
A coat rack.
No, I see a big, beautiful Christmas tree. Joseph, what do you see back there?
Vending machines.
No. I see a Christmas dinner with all the trimmings.
Oh my gosh.
Those are potato chips and pretzels.
Like, that sounds great to me, because, like, I'm a trash monster, but, like, you would have to remove the glass from the vending machine and open every bag.
Yeah, otherwise everyone's going to be, like, scrounging for quarters and dollar bills trying to make this feast work.
Also, I'm not going to give more money to this airport that grounded me on Christmas. No. I'm taking those chips. Those Utz are mine.
And then, he gives this big speech, and they're like, it's going to be great. And so then... Yeah. Overnight, this is another thing I wanted to point out, is like, Michelle is just on the loose. I have written up.
Who's watching Michelle anytime?
Because
I think Jesse's parents were supposed to assume are like watching her.
But they're not. And also, like, what do you do with, like, is Michelle, like, three or four?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know what you do in that case when you don't have, like, a bedroom or, like, crib or whatever to put her in that she would normally sleep in. Mm-hmm. So she just, like, gets up and is walking around, and she hits the conveyor belt button and sends Danny outside.
I love it. I love it because at no point were they like, should we make this snow realistic? Or should we just say this is LA and this is the best we're going to do? It's so crazy. Like, even when, like, Danny comes back and he has to, like, pretend to be cold, the way he does that is, he's like, I don't have any quarters there. Frozen.
Burr.
Wait,
no, so Danny goes outside. So, first of all, the fact that there is such an open air link
to
the outside.
It would be so cold.
Yeah, I was like, it would be freezing.
Yeah,
in there.
You wouldn't be like, Santa's not coming. You'd be like, let's keep the kids alive.
Yeah,
tonight.
This is also like no heat in that airport. No. I guess it just speaks to how cold it is. And also, how, I don't know, you would wake up. I mean, I was like, Danny must be a deep ass sleeper.
Yes, that was one option. I also thought maybe Danny was, like, pretty petty, and he was, like, mad this happened, so he was like, I'm gonna make you feel as bad as possible.
I'm gonna stay out here until, finally, how dare you.
I'm not gonna try to get off the conveyor belt and walk in the door. I'm gonna let you, like, find me so I can be a, like, jerk about it.
Yeah. So this brings us to the very, the most 2017 part of this episode, I guess, is the mistletoe.
Oh.
Because the runner of this whole thing is Jesse's parents want him to, like, give them grandkids.
Yeah.
Jesse wants to obviously date Becky because she's objectively the best human in the Full House universe, maybe?
Yeah.
And she keeps, like, respectfully, not blowing him away or brushing him off, but she doesn't, like, want
She's being,
to,
like, friendly.
Yeah.
She's not gonna give him grandkids right that minute.
And then Jesse's dad's like, hey, she's...
Jesse, what do you see over there?
I see Becky by the coffee machine, Dad.
I see a woman waiting to be kissed under the mistletoe.
Pop.
And so we get... So what are our thoughts on mistletoe?
Fascinating. This is where we get political.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the whole thing is, you know, my first kiss with your mother was under mistletoe. We're kissing till New Year's, and...
Yeah.
And, like...
Too what? Long.
And Jesse's dad even says, like, she's a woman in need, so go, like,
comfort her.
And Jesse's like, isn't that taking advantage of her? Like, they call it out pretty blatantly of, like, isn't that...
Yeah.
What's the issue of mistletoe consent here?
No, for sure. I mean, like, I guess I was okay with it because, well, I see that that's, like, kind of creepy. Like, I feel like Jesse, like, kind of asked her.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't just go over and kiss her and be like, what? Yep. What's the problem?
Like, the woman, like, does to him afterwards, which is not cool.
Which is weird.
But yeah,
yeah,
he goes up
and he's like, you know, you have it. And it seems like an ask. And I feel like if she were not interested, then he would have actually listened.
It's like, it's where you start getting in, like, weird, tricky territory. Because, like... vibes are a thing that exists, and as people,
we do
read vibes and body language, and you can tell, like, Jesse could probably tell that Becky was just as nervous about potentially kissing him as he was, and he saw, like, mistletoe.
She says yes.
And she says
because
yes,
he
asked
like,
to kiss.
It's the law.
I'm
it's
also happy we just so happen to be standing under the mistletoe. You know what that means.
Jesse.
No, I know, you just want to be friends. But believe me, I hate this just as much as you do. But it is a Christmas law.
Well, I am a law-abiding citizen.
So she says yes.
In any other circumstance, she might have said no then because she has been, like, nervous about it. But I can see, like, getting to Becky's mind, she's like, oh, well, this is giving me the excuse to do the thing that I've been wanting to do.
Yeah.
Which is kiss. Because when they kiss...
They kiss.
Oh.
And she kisses him.
She goes at it. Like,
that's
she puts
a good kiss.
Her arm around him, like, it
and
is.
And it's so long that they literally cut to Jesse's parents and then cut back and they're still kissing, which is the weirdest time. And his parents are like, keep going.
Also creepy as hell.
It's weird.
That might be creepier than mistletoe, honestly. Like your parents,
I mean,
like,
I don't know. It's very weird because they, like, want to have a grandkid, so if they just started going at it, I feel like they'd be like,
So, like, this is a good thing. This is, like, I do... So, yeah, maybe this, like, this works consent into mistletoe. And it also has some commentary on, like, the weird, awkward dance that we all do when we're, like, trying to date someone or see if someone's interested in you.
Yeah.
And it does, you know, I'll say this. It does say, like, just ask.
It does.
Just
and
ask.
I read a thing that I'm sure is just circulating on Facebook, and so you'll all read it soon.
Yeah.
But about how, like, flirting is... actually totally consent because it's like a little you, a little me, like we are figuring it out together.
Yeah.
And that harassment is all one person being like, this is what I want, the other person right. saying no.
Yeah.
And so actually, like, when men are like, oh, all this stuff's happening, I can't flirt anymore, it's like, if that's what you think flirting is, then you're just bad at flirting.
Yeah, because
like,
yeah,
flirting is actually about like someone saying like, yes, I want you to continue flirting with me.
Yeah, flirting is a two-way thing.
Yeah. And I think this is a good example of that. Like, she could just easily be like, no, Jesse, I understand what mistletoe is, and like, do not even try it.
Yeah.
And she doesn't. She's like, oh wow, like, oh, I didn't realize.
Yeah.
So that makes me think like, it was, I find this a consensual moment. I do think that like, Jesse's dad says some things that are weird.
Yeah, the like, she's over there in need, go basically like take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Which I do like, Jesse doesn't take that advice. Like,
no.
Because I think Jesse's dad wanted him to walk over there and just kiss her immediately.
Yeah.
I think.
Or just be like, oh, Toots, yeah, you look so sad.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And Jesse doesn't, that just shows how good of a dude Jesse is. He walks mm-hmm. over there and is like nice and like brings up mistletoe and is like, like he makes.
Yeah.
Now, after the kiss, Jesse's.
Best kiss ever.
Becky
actually
like, says. It's
like weird, good kiss.
She says, I want to do that again.
Mercy.
That was great. I can't wait till we can do that again. Next Christmas.
And then just like barrels away.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh no, but
she's a femme fatale.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm like, yeah, she like is in charge. She's like, I'll kiss you when I feel like it.
Was this her sixth episode? Like, what episode number was this of her original six, I wonder? Like, is this part of her original arc? Or is this like, this is the ninth episode of the season, I think. So is this like, had she already done her six and this was like the seventh episode? And they're like, well, we know she's sticking around, so let's.
I don't know. I would have to actually look into it.
Yeah, I should have done that research now. Because she's only recurring in this season. I don't think she joins the regular cast until like season 3 or 4.
Yeah.
But like, they have such good chemistry.
They're great.
So I'm glad we actually do get to talk about Jesse and Becky's first kiss.
They're great. And also, I know I've like ragged on Jesse's dad, but it's very good casting.
Yeah, he does.
It's very good casting. Yeah. And they're very charming overall. Particularly his mother is very charming. Yeah.
So then we get the moment when the man himself, Santa Claus,
Saint Nicholas,
walks in, and he like, there's magic happens. Like he walks in.
Brett's crying right now.
It's so red.
No, he's weeping.
He walks in and like sits down, talks to Stephanie, and then like waves the presents in.
Yeah.
So where did those presents go? How are they back? How did he activate the conveyor belt with a wave of his hand?
Maybe Michelle is, like, hiding.
Yeah, hiding. We don't know.
Pressing it.
Does anyone have eyes on Michelle?
I know.
It's,
who knows? She's missing.
A weird. And then, like, then he disappears in the middle of nowhere. Everyone in there sees a man dressed as Santa with mm-hmm. a air quote real beard that is obviously a fake beard. But
yeah, because you pull in a beard and it doesn't move, that means it's real.
Yeah.
Not glued.
That was the fakest looking real beard ever.
Yeah.
Wait, who is your definitive Santa Claus portrayal?
Oh no.
Because I have mine, like, I know.
I think like maybe the Santa Claus. Like,
oh, Tim Allen?
Yeah.
As Santa Claus? Okay, okay.
I think maybe. I try to think of someone I like more. No, I think that was my, like, go-to.
So you like that he's a murderer.
Yeah.
But he doesn't murder Santa. He just, like, does he accidentally murder him? Or?
Yeah, he actually does murder him.
What?
They don't really show it, but basically, like, Santa's on the roof and he knocks him off and he falls to his death, which we don't see.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
Mine is Richard Attenborough from Miracle on 34th Street.
Mm-hmm.
He's my...
That's a classier answer.
Favorite Santa Claus.
My answer's like, I was a 90 kid, so Tim Allen.
Well, that my movie came out in 94. I watch it every year, and I watch it this year, and I actually said out loud, that's the kind of Santa I want to grow up to be.
You can do it. Grow your beard between now and 2 weeks from now.
I do have it in my head of, like, I want to retire and become, like, a mall. Like, when I'm in, like, my 60s, I would like to be a mall Santa.
Yeah.
But I want a situation where I don't actually have to interact with children.
Yeah.
Because I'm not good with kids.
No.
But I guess it's actually a part of the job.
To be good with kids.
Yeah, but I guess I could spend the next 30 years, like, maybe honing. Start really
inch
practicing.
Closer to a child.
But, like,
I could do this.
The jolliness, the acting, the improv of it, I feel like I could now. Yeah. Also, like, the look on board.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Richard Attenborough standing because it's, like, a trimmer beard and shorter hair. Because I don't like, huge beard and, like, long Sir Lancelot hair. Hate that.
Yeah, my husband's dad actually pretends to be Santa in hospitals.
Oh,
that sounded like so intense. Like, I grew up on a farm and had a perfect life. No, but like he just has the look. He's tall and he has a big, big beard. And actually, we were walking on Black Friday. We're walking down 125th Street, and this girl was, like, giving her mom a hard time, and her mom was like, watch out, like, you gotta be good, because Santa's watching, and my husband's dad leans over and is like, I am, and she literally was like, Santa, okay, I'll be good, and just, like, was nice to her mom.
A legit Miracle on 34th Street moment. That happens at the beginning of Miracle on 34th Street.
Happened to me at 125th
Street. That's insane, Miracle on 125th.
On Black Friday, but literally, it was, like, so special, and it was, like, this is a superpower, yeah.
That's amazing. That also brings up the fact that, Santa visits, a man dresses Santa with their air quote real beard, comes in, waves in presents from nowhere that were lost, then disappears.
Danny bought.
Yeah, Danny bought.
So, Santa brought no presents, just
so he just, like, took the credit.
Yeah.
And then disappears. And then Stephanie, like, doesn't she say, like, I saw Santa fly away?
Yeah.
She says she sees that. And then she goes and looks at the laptop, and it says, like, thanks for the maps,
thanks
Stephanie.
Thanks for the maps, which I think is a really nice touch. And I actually was like, oh, good screenwriting, you guys.
So, I want to bring up this fact, because Full House has done between Full House and Fuller House, they've done 3 subsequent Christmas episodes.
Okay.
How the fuck is this not brought up every fucking year?
Okay.
How is Stephanie the next year not being like, or when Danny finally tries to tell her, you know, I'm actually Santa Claus, and she's like, don't you guys fucking remember when we were trapped in and also the older she gets and, like, the more aware she understands of, like, you as an adult would even be more like, that was insane.
Yeah.
So I feel like at the time she's like, this is Christmas magic and I think it's normal. But then as she grows up and realizes, no, magic does not actually exist, but I experienced something truly unexplainable and everyone else is acting like it didn't happen.
I thought it would actually be traumatizing. I did have that thought too when, you know, how, like, Stephanie's like, when she's older, she's like, I'm cool and maybe I did drugs.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe, like, she just honestly, like, had to talk to a therapist for a while, being like, this inexplicable thing happened and no one ever acknowledged it. Yeah.
Because I feel like that, like, I don't know, the Fuller House writers, like, love their Easter eggs and callbacks. Like, they do it every episode is just needs an, like, anecdotes and annotations or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I cannot believe that in the Christmas episode in season 2 that they did not bring that up.
Yeah.
Maybe they did and I don't remember, but how would you not talk about this every year?
No, and also as adults, like, there should have been a fourth act where all the adults get in a room and say, like, what just happened?
Or even after he disappears, just everyone in baggage can be like, what the, what?
Yeah.
Where?
Also, the 10 extras who were also on the plane are, like, fine with this.
Yeah.
They're like, oh yeah, Santa has been here, that's fine.
God.
I'll smile and nod.
What in the world?
No.
So we have any final thoughts about our very first Christmas show before moving to trivia?
Oh my gosh, trivia.
I mean, honestly, there's just, like, so many things to talk about with this episode that we can probably go.
I know. Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything super outstanding. I don't know. Just other than, like, because of this episode, I want to go and rewatch all of it because I genuinely feel like it's my childhood bottled.
So, yeah, I was going to, because there are two. I think it's like season 5. 4 or 5 or 6. It's like in the middle of Full House has a very Tanner Christmas,
mm-hmm.
which is one I like more than this one, I think, because it has. It has both poverty tourism, where Uncle Jesse, like, drags Stephanie and Michelle to a soup kitchen on Christmas Day to, like, make them thankful.
Yeah.
And then it also has Jesse buying 17,000 snow cones to give Becky a white Christmas.
Oh, right. I love that episode.
Yeah, it's insane, and I love that one. But I needed to talk about this one because it has the Santa Claus being real thing in it, which I was like, I got it. Like,
it's
you gotta
insane.
Talk about it, because that's
also, insane. I think that I like Becky and Jesse more before they're, like, for sure getting married.
Yeah, there's, like,
it's
a real...
It's so cute.
It's kind of, like, a classy, like, 1940s, like, will they, won't they kind of good thing.
I stand by her being, like, a femme fatale. Like, she is just, like, I know what I care about. I care about my career. I don't care about my, like, co-host creepy like, brother-in-law.
Also, like, what does Becky think about Joey? Like,
oh,
what,
yeah.
Who's this weird dude that lives in your alcove?
I would love to have a spinoff that's about Becky and about her just, like, talking over brunch with her friends about, like, how fucked up her co-host family is.
Or all of her friends are like, so they're a cult?
Yeah.
So you, oh, you married into the cult. Okay,
you
cool.
walk into a room, you hug. Like, yeah. Every 3 days, we cry about something together.
This music is piped through the entire house. It's very sentimental.
We live in the biggest house in San Francisco.
It defies logic.
Actually,
it's four stories.
So I...
'cause it has a basement and an attic that are totally finished.
Oh my god. Yeah, you're right. And I also... so I went to see the Painted Ladies last year. I went to San Francisco. And it's so crazy because there's so much tourism. Like, in every window, there are signs that are like, please do not touch the houses. Please do not walk
people
into the driveways.
Live in them?
Yes. I think they're real because all the blinds were down. One of them had a Hillary sign. And like I was and I was like, oh, these are rich people who know what's up. And then I because the backyard, I wanted to know if that backyard was like real. I know it's a soundstage.
Yeah.
But I did like go on the street behind the Painted Ladies and look for that backyard, which I know
are there houses behind them?
Yes.
Okay,
it's a whole neighborhood.
I was like, Kimmy Gibbler's house does also exist.
Yeah, they all exist. I mean, but the backyard sadly does not exist because it's a soundstage. So
Yeah, that's crazy.
Also
he bought the house. The creator, Jeff Franklin, bought the house.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, because he bought, like, it finally went for sale for sale. He bought the house, and in the season 3 of 4 house,
yeah.
Like, they did, like, this big opening credits number where they actually, like, took Kimmy and Stephanie and DJ, the actresses, and, like, put them on the front porch and did, like, a crane shot of them, like...
That's
like,
so
they did,
cool.
like, a scene out there just because they could finally do that, I guess.
I also, like, the soundstage from Full House became the soundstage from Friends. So I wonder if it's just, like, lucky.
Whoa, that's weird.
Yeah, like, they switched it out, so I don't know. I want to know what's being made there now. But hopefully all good shows.
Yeah, that's like Cheers became Frasier's set.
Yeah.
That's 22 years of that magic.
Mm-hmm.
I got to see it. Well, I got to see the outside of it. I didn't get to go in.
Aww.
So trivia!
Trivia!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So ratings, 15.3 million people watched this season on average.
Okay.
15.3 is actually horrible.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people to us.
Yeah.
But back then, it was ranked number 32 for this season. In season
this,
2. Season 2 of Full House was 32 in the year-end rankings.
Oh, wow. When did it peak?
It hit the top 30 next year, so season 3, and then it just kept climbing, and then it dropped
up
a little bit. But it was, you know, it was a top 30 show for the rest of the run, but it wasn't for the first 2 seasons.
Yeah.
The top 5 shows of the 88-89 season were number 5, 60 Minutes, 4, Cheers, 3, A Different World, 2, Roseanne, and 1, The Cosby Show.
Oh, that's not surprising.
Yeah, so it is, it's just so weird to think that, like, Full House existed at the same time as, like, Cheers did.
Yeah.
It's like, these are such different shows that are just in such different...
Yeah.
Eras for my brain.
Yeah.
Also, like, they're just trying to do such different things.
The Cosby Show, I'd argue, is trying to do a similar thing as Full House.
Yeah. Well, like, or like, Roseanne is doing it, but in a way more
realistic yeah.
and, like, edgy way, groundbreaking way.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Full House is not trying to do
I love Full House it, is
trying to just do,
but it's insane. They were like, well, "Can we make a show that every single person will like?"
Yeah, so it is the least.
We not most, offend anyone.
The most lowest common denominator show that has ever existed, and in some way works because of that. It's fucking wild.
Yeah.
Season two was not in the top 30. Ratings were low in season one, but they got a boost in season two because it was put on after Perfect Strangers.
Ooh.
So Perfect Strangers gave it a ratings boost.
Crazy, because now I actually know so little about Perfect Strangers. Yeah, and also, it's a perfect stranger to me.
Yeah, yep, that's also true to me, because it was not in reruns a lot when I was a kid. On IMDb, 163 users rated this episode a 7.4 out of 10. Would you go higher, lower, is that on the money?
That's on the money for me.
Yeah. not a perfect 10.
I don't know that it's my favorite episode ever, but it's also a very good episode. Like,
I mean, it's
good for Full House, for an early season.
Yeah, like, Full House is one of the rare shows that I think gets more, I mean, not better, but more fascinating the older it gets.
Yeah.
Like, the last season of Full House, when it's just insane.
Mm-hmm.
Is better to me. Like, I want a Steve season.
Yes.
A fucking Kimmy Gibbler's boyfriend who just says, whatever. Like, Dwayne, I think.
Yeah.
Like, just, when they start getting just weird, that's what I like. These earlier seasons where you think, I think they think they're making an actually good show.
Yeah.
And, like, later on they realize, let's
they're
just...
like, this is a really big paycheck. Let's literally write anything.
Yeah. God. Yeah. So the
I do miss Steve. There's a hole in my heart.
This is from the original TGIF lineup. This is part of the... This season was the very first year that TGIF was an official branded thing.
Uh-huh.
So that original TGIF lineup was Perfect Strangers, Full House, and then Mr. Belvedere, Just the 10 of Us, and then 2020.
Oh, wow.
Which I never have watched.
Imagine watching Full House and then watching 2020.
Yeah.
Imagine I used to do that. Whiplash.
I used to do that watching Hangover Mr. Cooper, and then, like, I loved 2020 as a kid.
Every Friday.
We watched it every week.
Like, I want to see some stock footage of people walking down the street.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Ooh.
But yeah, I've never really watched Mr. Belvedere or Just the 10 of Us. Like,
no.
I think the year after this is when, or a couple years later is when Family Matters and Step by Step got added. And, like,
I can only imagine that Just the 10 of Us is cheaper by the dozen again.
Yeah, I mean, that has to be about parents with 8 kids, right?
Oh, that's a thing in this episode. Becky says, me, just in our 10 siblings.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Becky's one of 9 from Nebraska with a cow.
We never meet any of them either, no. I think. I don't think we ever meet any of
what
her relatives.
What a good girl.
We have
buttoned
to meet,
up girl.
We have to meet her parents in their wedding episode. Right.
I'm sure, but it's...
I don't remember them.
It's so insane to me that literally, like, Danny has, like, a brother-in-law, and he's in every episode.
Yeah.
But she has 9 siblings,
never
and it's not
that.
Important. Yeah.
Fucking weird. This is Jesse and Becky's first kiss, as we noted.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, geez. Who would you say had the must-see performance in this episode? This is a thing I need to think about too.
Oh, well, so I had an answer, but I think it's changing.
Oh, no.
My original answer was going to be Jesse's mom, because I thought for someone with very little lines, she actually did a very charming, like, appearance.
Yeah.
But now that we're talking about Becky so much, it's definitely Becky for me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, I would like... Stephanie is the obvious choice. Like, you should say Stephanie because she's, like, the engine of this show, but...
Also, her lines don't sound like lines. She really, like, as a child, is acting very well.
But, you know, like, if you want to, like, see... Becky brings such a realness, naturalness, and grace.
Yeah, she's not acting. She's just chilling.
And she's so good in this for us. Yeah, so Becky.
She also, her sweater... really mirrors Jesse's sweater in a very, like, we're hinting something's gonna happen.
Yeah, she's more like this purpley, lavendery.
It's the same cut as Jesse's.
Peas in
it's
a pod.
It's huge, yeah, and really good.
Must other people see this episode?
Yeah, I think it's fun. We just spent an hour talking about it, so I'd say, like, you should probably see it. if you got this far.
This hasn't been in vain, I swear.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is, if you're, I mean, like, again, Christmas... 100%. This is, if you want to see a show that tells you the Santa Claus is real, it's this one. Also, Family Matters, Have Yourself a Merry Winslow Christmas.
Ooh.
And also, Home Improvement's You'll Better Watch Out.
Mm-hmm.
Those 3 episodes establish that Santa Claus is a real figure in the TGIF universe.
Yeah. Which I'm okay with, because Santa Claus was a real figure to me until I was, wait for it, 13 years old.
Oh, whoa! Oh, yeah. Why are we getting to that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who finally burst that bubble?
Well, my mom, we were at Kohl's, and she was like, oh, wow, that's the makeup palette I got Diane. But then, like, I didn't notice, but I guess, like, that was supposed to have come from Santa. And my mom thought it was a huge deal, but I just, like, didn't notice at all. And then my mom, like, sat me down and was like, I'm sorry, I blew it. And then I was also like, wait, I'm 13. I was like, wait, why didn't, like, I think I got upset about being lied to because I was beyond the age of, like,
yeah.
My mom did things, though. She really took it to a level where, like, Santa was in my house. He was, like, she saw him. They knew each other. They talked.
She made an elaborate ruse.
Well, so there was this thing, because I was 12. I shouldn't say I was, like, a teenager, because that makes me sound like a crazy person. But there was a thing when I was, like, 8, like, 10 that really convinced me. And I was sleeping, and my mom leans the vacuum up against the back of the door, because I kept running out trying to catch my mom lying to me.
Yeah.
So, I did quotations. So, one time I heard it happening. I was like, I'm gonna catch my mom. This will be put to bed. We can stop, like, talking about it. And the vacuum, like, smashed. And I ran out, and my mom, like, had the gifts, and I was like, oh, for sure, I've caught her.
Yeah.
And my mom just started yelling and was like, you scared him away! He was so excited. He had to come back so many times because you kept waking up, and, like, this is all your fault. Now he might not even come at all. Go to bed. And she yelled, like, my mom never yelled at me. Like, she was, like, she's like, my mom and I have a very good relationship, and I was like, oh, wow, I really messed up. Like, my mom's yelling, really messed up. So I believed it for a very long time. So I'm okay with shows doing it, because it's a world I'm familiar with. Where magic exists.
That is fascinating. The level of, like, acting commitment.
Yeah, no, my mom was, like, serious. My mom was an opera singer, so she, like, okay, she brought it to a 10. It was, like, the worst thing I'd done all year was scare Santa away.
Because my parents, they never elaborated on the myth. It was just,
really?
Santa Claus is real.
Yeah.
Go to bed, Santa's coming. They never, like, they would eat the cookies that I would leave out. And that's, like, as far as they went. I think they would leave, like, half a cookie, like, bite it in half, and, like, leave it, you know, be like, ooh, teeth marks.
I don't even know, like, my mom, before gluten-free was a thing, my mom had celiac, and so she just, like, couldn't eat bread, but we didn't know what it was called.
Oh.
And so my mom, like, somehow managed to make the cookies look eaten, even though she, like, could not eat them. Like, the extent to which she went to it. Yeah, like little bite marks. Like, oh my goodness. I don't know. Maybe my dog ate the cookies.
That is nuts.
No, it was intense. It was very, like, Santa's real in this household. This is what we do. Also, a lot of things were real in my household. Tooth Fairy, real. Leprechauns. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you got leprechauns.
Because there was no holiday associated with those. So they never had to tell me that.
Oh, St. Patrick's Day.
Well, we never did anything for
it. Oh, I'm not Irish even.
Yes.
Leprechauns would come and trash my house and leave green glitter and sprinkles everywhere.
That's not a thing though, right? Like, St. Patrick's Day is an adult holiday.
Well, so what happened, I think my mom was just like, so I am from New Hampshire and there's a lot of Irish people there. And so there was a year when I came home from school and I was like, leprechauns came to everyone but us. So I think my mom was, like, going overboard, because
that's a thing that people do, like, in New Hampshire.
Yeah, yeah. Leprechauns come and they pee in your toilet. My mom used to take green food dye and put a few drops in the toilet. Have you not heard of the fact that you haven't heard of that is baffling
to
me.
It's such a thing. I've never heard of this.
Oh my god.
This is really upsetting.
Literally, it's like the leprechauns come, they trash everything, like furniture upside down. They leave like little chocolate gold and like cookies, and they put sprinkles and glitter everywhere and they pee in your toilet. I don't know how you haven't heard of this. I'm sorry, this isn't Christmassy.
No, but like there's no people talk about all these things, like, my husband's from St. Louis, and he talks about how on Halloween, when you go, you're supposed to, like trick-or-treat and then, like, tell a joke.
No.
And that's how you get your candy.
You
and
have to be a good stand-up to get your candy?
He didn't find out that is not a thing.
I would have no candy.
Until, I think we'd already been together, and he found out, and we were, like, hanging out with friends one night, and we're like, that's not a thing. And then he had, like, text his brothers and everyone, be like, that's not a thing outside of St. Louis.
Oh, my God.
And then I have other people talking about how October 30th is, like, Devil's Night or whatever. And that, like, or it's, like, All Hallows Eve. Like, it has, like, a name. Yeah. People do things.
Yeah.
Tennessee has literally nothing special about it. When it comes, it is all, like,
need music.
It has, no, like, in terms of holidays, it's nothing out of the ordinary. It is, like, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Halloween's on Halloween. You just take trick-or-treat, you know?
And like, I didn't know that leprechauns were, like, specifically... I mean, I guess because it's, like, the Boston area, there's a lot of Irishness.
Yeah,
because
I don't think, like, there's no... I don't think there's a heavy Irish population.
I'm not Irish at all, but, like, it was such a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's... What's also weird is, like, they did not really do anything to try to... Like, they were like, hey, Joey, you'll wear a Santa costume, and that'll, like, trick them or whatever. Yeah. That's, like, about it.
Yeah.
That's weird.
That'll trick...
And they should have taken lessons from your mother and gone to the extreme.
Sad.
So, if people want to talk to you about when they found out Santa Claus wasn't real, where can they talk to you online?
Ooh, fun.
Check out your stuff, or anything you want to plug.
Yeah. Well, I'm a director and writer and photographer, and so I have LizzieBryce.com is a good place to talk to me. I should have more prepared. I'm on an women's improv group named The Feds. So ooh, we do shows up and about town. We have a monthly show. So you NYC? Can talk to me there. Yes, in NYC. What's up, what's up? Yeah, and I'm a part of a production company called Carbonated Films with Matt Fisher.
I need to get on the show.
Yes, please. He's a delight, and we're carbonatedfilms.com. So basically a lot of .coms. I bought the internet.
Yay!
Yay, I'm rich now!
And that does it for this week's episode of Must Have Seen TV and the Holiday Gauntlet. Thanks again to my guest, Lizzie Bryce, for dropping by and talking about Full House with me this week. And thanks to all my other guests that have been on the Holiday Gauntlet, stretching all the way back to October. That's been Alejandro Arbona, Ricky Purden, Jeremy Bent, Josh Wiggler, Taylor Moore, Ashley Spurgeon, Katie Healy-Wersberg, Dan Chamberlain, Megan O'Keefe, Crystal Beth, and Lizzie Bryce. Thanks to everyone for talking about Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas with me, and thanks to everyone else for listening. Next week on the show, I am finally taking a wee bit of a break after 35 straight episodes. I am going to take a week off, maybe two. If you want to hear Drunk Cheers, the insane project that I talked about in the Cheers episode, tweet using the hashtag Drunk Cheers. Tweet at the Must Have Seen TV Twitter account. Tweet at my Twitter account. If anyone out there is actually interested in hearing it, please tweet at me, and if, I don't know, 5 people ask for it, I will publish one of the episodes as a New Year's treat. Until then, you can send your questions about sitcoms to musthaveseentv@gmail.com. You can follow the podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Tumblr at musthaveseentv. If you like what you've heard, please, please, please rate and review Must Have Seen TV in iTunes. It's super important, and I need everyone to do it ASAP. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Brett White. You can read the words that I write at decider.com. You can check out my sitcom t-shirts and stickers at tpublic.com/user/Brett White. The theme song this week is Vince Guaraldi Trio's Skating from the Charlie Brown Christmas Special, A Beautiful Song. And pointing out again, if you want to hear Drunk Cheers, tweet at me, #DrunkCheers. Tweet it. Thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Thanks to everyone for listening. And I'll see y'all in 2018 on Must Have Seen TV.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.